welcome, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster, for the Voices of Courage show. Today, we're talking about the courage to have resilience in leadership. Ever ask yourself what it takes to be a great leader? You know, is it grit? Is it purpose? Is it passion? Is it actions? What creates great leaders? Is it compassion? Is it understanding? Is it wisdom? Is it courage? Maybe it's all these things. And maybe there's a missing ingredient. Well, we're going to talk about the missing ingredient and so much more today on this show. I've got a very special guest today. He's a leader himself. I've led many, many people and organizations over time. I'm not going to tell you who it is yet, and I'm going to give him a formal introduction in just a second. But here's what I want you to do. I really want you to get your pen and paper, if you can, if you're not driving, of course. If you are driving, you can pull over, great. But I want you to be prepared to take notes, right? You know, wisdom begets greatness. And so if you can start to model the wisdom that we're going to be talking about on today's show, what's going to happen is you're going to step into greatness. A friend of mine once told me, in fact, I worked with him for a while. His name is Tony Robbins. I don't know if you know Tony Robbins. Tony Robbins is a success coach, kind of the success coaches of success coaches. He once told me when I was working with him, he said, if you go out and you do a good job, Ken, you're going to get poor results. If you do a great job, you're going to get good results. But if you do an outstanding job, you're going to have it all. I always remembered that. And I've always applied those principles to not only myself, but my teams and my businesses. And guess what? It absolutely is 100% accurate. So if you want to step into a place of excellence and do an outstanding job and learn what leadership is all about, this is the show for you today. All right, I'm going to take a quick break. And when I get back, we'll have my guest join us.
Whether because of discomfort, lack of mobility, your lifestyle, or occupation, you sit inactively way too many hours a day. Introducing Ellipse, the premium quality automatic seated exerciser that strengthens legs, increases mobility, and boosts circulation without physical strain or impact.
It is so quiet that none of my coworkers even know I'm using it.
Strengthen and tone your legs. Increase your mobility, flexibility, and balance. Plus, stimulate healthy circulation.
My joints feel better, my knees feel better, my back feels better. It makes me feel stronger too.
Perfect for home therapy. Whisper quiet to use while you work.
My circulation is moving, I'm burning calories, and it makes me feel energetic.
Call now and order Ellipse, the seated exerciser that strengthens legs, increases mobility, and boosts circulation. Call and get upgraded to the deluxe bundle. Get the faster motor for 5 miles of steps per hour, the step counter, the sport mat, and wireless remote. Call now.
Welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster. So glad you're sticking with us on this show. This is going to be an amazing show. Brian, welcome to our show. It's good to have you.
Thank you, Ken. I'm excited to be with you. We're going to have a blast.
We are going to have a blast. If you don't know Brian Biro is America's breakthrough speaker, seminar leader. He's delivered over 1,800 presentations on leadership, team building, and breakthrough globally. And breaking through globally. I like that. I'm going to rephrase that. He's been featured on Good Morning America, CNN, and numerous podcasts. He's authored 16 books, including his bestsellers, Beyond Success and It's a Time for Joy. His newest release, Lessons from the Legends, brings forth the championship formula of Pat Summit, and John Wooden, offering insights applicable to everybody, really. So here you are. All right. Now, did I get that right? Pat Summit or Pat Summerall? Which one is that?
Pat Summit. Pat Summit was to...
Yeah. Tell me about Pat Summit.
Yeah, Pat Summit was to women's basketball, and in many ways, John Wooden was to men's basketball. For those who don't know, John Wooden was the greatest men's college basketball coach of all time. His teams at UCLA won 10 national championships. Give you some perspective of that, no other coach in men's history has won more than 5 in a career. Coach Wooden won 10 in 12 years. He would have been the first to tell you, though, he didn't win any in the first 27 years that he coached. You used to say it's what you learn after you know everything that makes the difference. So, but for those who don't care about basketball, John Wooden was a better father, better husband, better person than he was a coach. And Pat Summitt coached the University of Tennessee women's basketball, was in many ways the equivalent of John Wooden to women's basketball as he was men's. Again, a builder of people. Both these people understood, yeah, they coach basketball, but they really coached was people. It's how you help people grow that will determine how far you can go. Her teams at University of Tennessee went to 16 Final Fours. They won 8 of them. And she would have been the first to tell you she didn't win any until she had lost 8. And then she won 8 after that. She kept learning and growing as well. And Pat Summitt, we lost her, unfortunately, at an early age, at 64, from early onset Alzheimer's. But she left an indelible imprint on not only women's basketball, but all of the people that she touched. So Pat Summitt, quite an incredible, incredible story. I was friends with John Wooden. There's a picture of him behind me with when we did a book signing together and his Pyramid of Success. But I did not know Pat Summitt, so it was incredible to learn an incredible amount of research about her. I wanted to write about two people who exemplify character and building people.
I'm so glad I asked about Pat Summitt. Now I'm going to have to look her up and study a little bit about some of her principles because she sounds phenomenal. Yeah, that's great.
Read my book. Then you want it right down there. That's the best way, right there.
That's it, man. You know, hey, listen, I love to express my ignorance on the show. That's how I learn. That's how I grow. And I'm real and authentic. People teach me. That's one of the principles you need to know if you want to be a great leader. That's what I know. Listen,
absolutely.
You've been building on wisdom and teaching people about wisdom and legends and stuff forever. How have you effectively done that? Where did you get your information from?
Well, I think that what you just brought up about yourself is a starting place for all people who want to be lifelong learners. One of the reasons why I chose to write about John Wooden and Pat Summitt is very different styles. John Wooden, probably the harshest words he ever said was good grief. And Pat Summitt, she could melt a computer screen with her glare. She was tough as nails. She used to say, toughen up, buttercup. But both of them had the essential ingredient to be a lifelong learner. Both of them were incredibly humble. Now, I don't really believe that humility is a vital characteristic. I learned from both of them to be a great leader. And here's why. For some reason, in the last 10 years or so, humility has gotten a bad rap. People say, oh, well, we can't be competent and be humble. Humble is weak. Humble is somehow soft. It could not be farther from the truth. All right? Because being humble doesn't mean you think less of yourself. It means you think of yourself less. But the real secret of why humility is so crucial to leadership, only those who are humble are lifelong learners. Because only those who are humble are constantly looking to get better. They believe they can learn from everyone. They can learn from any situation. They learn as much from quote-unquote failures as from successes. And only when you're humble are you focused on your character more than your reputation. So your character's...
I couldn't agree more. In fact, there's a definition of humility that states humility is the ability to see reality clearly. Reality clearly. Don't you love that?
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And, you know, the chance to learn from these two incredible people, well, is just a lifetime gift because each of them really were focused on giving credit and taking responsibility. They were what I call blame busters. They're incredibly present with everyone they were with. And not only did we learn from what they said, but more importantly, how they lived their lives. And, you know, John Wooden used to say, in judge the quality of people by the way they can treat those who can do nothing for them. Both Pat Summitt and John Wooden passed that with flying colors.
And I love that. You know what I love about that is that, you know, this isn't about basketball or football or necessarily any sports. It's really about how we show up every day in our families, in our home lives, in our friends, and those we love and we care about. These are the principles that when we live these principles, life gets better and better, even though it's sometimes difficult to get to that place. Let's talk about character and, as a reputation. I think that's a very interesting topic that I believe is in your book.
Absolutely. Coach Wooden said that be more concerned with your character than your reputation, because your character is who you are. Your reputation only what others think you are. And if you'll focus on your character, which is really about focusing on controlling your controllables, that's the essence. I'm called America's Breakthrough Speaker because I want to help people break through from fear to freedom, from failure to faith, from ego to ego, and from good to great. And to do that, the starting place is to focus on what you control. Have you ever noticed, Ken, when you're focusing on things you control, how much more momentum you feel, how much more confident you feel, how you feel like you're making progress? When we try to control what we don't control, we get frustrated, we give up, we get disappointed. And so both of these coaches, and really I believe that the core of what we can do to rise closer to our potential is to focus on the things we do control. And there's three areas, and each of these exemplified. And the first is about vision, is to shape your future. A foundation that both these coaches believed in and that I've been teaching for 35 years, is what you focus on is what you create. Not what you get, it's what you create. And there's a principle that behind that is called the Pygmalion effect. And a Pygmalion effect, any great coach, any great leader, any great mother or father wants to become a positive Pygmalion. And the Pygmalion effect says that our thoughts, our beliefs, and our expectations are magnetic. That as we look at people, not only are we seeing them where they are, we're actually pulling them in the direction of our thoughts, beliefs, and expectations. And if you've ever had somebody who you had this sense, they believe in you more than you believe in yourself, those were great Pygmalions. And what they did was they looked to what you really are capable of, and they focused on helping you grow into that potential. So a starting place for both of them is the power of being a truly positive Pygmalion.
Well, I love that. And, you know, I think people get mixed up sometimes about what we can control and what we can't control. And I love the fact you started out with vision and your purpose. And, you know, and the day, it, you know, every single day I ask the question of myself and my clients, you know, what are the three steps today? If I were courageous, what are the three steps today that'll take me to whatever goal I want? I think there's that piece in there that we need to take those actions. Speaking of actions, let's go to the we go, not ego mindset. Let's talk about that.
Okay. Again, it starts with humility. It's about giving credit. It's amazing what's accomplished when nobody cares who gets the credit. Credit is something you give. I love a quote from Coach Bear Bryant, the great legendary coach of Alabama. He said, if you want to get a team's heart to beat as one, he said, when things go great, they did it. Things go pretty good, we did it. When things go bad, I did it. In other words, I'm going to take responsibility to change me. If things are to change, I must change. So when you move from ego to we go, you really understand that the greatest thing about human beings is that we'll do more for others than we'll do for ourselves. I'm known as America's Breakthrough Speaker because I've had a million people break boards in my events. Break wooden boards is a metaphor of breaking through a fear, obstacle, habit, or doubt. And what the greatest way I can describe this event, it's the greatest combination individual and team experience. And it really gets to this ego, move from ego to we go. If I had 1,000 people in my audience, I'd have 100 circles of 10 people each breaking boards all at once. If you were in a circle, Ken, 9 other people are going, Ken, Ken, Ken. You've never heard of people cheer like they cheer for each other because we want each other to break through. But the ego moving ego comes through in deeper essence of what team, a great team, and what you're going for in your organization, in your family, in your community. I had a woman several years ago, the oldest board breaker I ever had in an event. She was 95 years old. Wow. She was probably 4 foot. When she got up, and this was at an event where I had 4,000 people breaking boards. When she got up on stage, she was the last person because she had tried to break the board out in the room 3 times and had not broken through. And I always tell everyone, if you don't break after 3 tries, but you don't want to give up, you want to be resilient, come up on stage and I'll hold for you. I can't break a board for you, but I can put you in the best place possible. So imagine 4,000 people crammed around this stage like at a rock concert, and this little 4 foot 10 inch 95 year old woman comes up on stage with her granddaughter behind her holding her waist so she wouldn't teeter over. And the roar from that crowd, when she broke her board, which she did do, the roar from that crowd was so loud in Atlanta, you could hear it in LA, right? It shook my ears. But here's the most amazing, 4,000 people broke through that day. They all loved their own personal breakthrough. What they'll remember more is that 95-year-old woman's breakthrough, that 95-year-old woman's courage to get up on stage after she had not broken through three times. And that's when we all move from ego to ego. The best day of my life, Ken, was my daughter's wedding day. And it was for something I never could have understood until I experienced it. That was for probably 6 hours on her wedding day. I didn't think of myself once. All I could do was think. They tell me I was laughing and crying at the same time. All I remember was her. And when you are cheering for Ken, when those 4,000 people were cheering for that one woman, they got to feel in that moment the way I felt about my daughter that night, where they moved from ego to wego. All they cared about was somebody else breaking through. And that's when we build up unstoppable tenor.
I love that, man. I got to take a break. You know, it's that place, you know, if I'm ever feeling hopeless, what I do is I go out and help. So I go from hope to help all the time, right? It's about getting your ego going in and being a service to another human being. And what happens is everything gets better for you. I love what you're saying here. All right, listen, when I come back, I want to talk about resilience in leadership. And I also, you know, there's a part of us that, you know, we screw up. We're humans, right? We mess up. Okay. So, you know, how do we mess up, you know, own it and then get back and get resilient? That's what we're going to talk about when we get back from this little break here. We'll be right back.
Imagine this is your money and someone wants to take it from you. Who is it? The IRS. Guess what? They want your money and they can take it, all of it if they want. Remember, they sent you that letter right over here that said, hey, you owe us a bunch of cash and we're gonna take it from you right now. So what do? You fight back by letting our team of experts work it out with the IRS so you can keep your money. And hey, we're good at what we do. When you hire us, you get a team of guys on your side that know the IRS laws. And we'll fight really hard to save your money. So, if you owe the IRS a ton of cash and you want to keep it, call right now and learn for free how we can help you put it back in your pocket. 5 minutes of your time right now can save you thousands of dollars. And the best part, it's a free call. So please call right now.
Welcome back, everybody. I'll be right back with my guest in just a moment. I want to remind you that this show is for you. This show is to inspire greatness in you. This show is for you to understand who you are, what you're about, what your passion is, what your purpose is, and be able to apply these principles in your life to upshift not only your consciousness, but those that you love around you. So my encouragement is that you go right now to our YouTube channel and subscribe. And also, pass this show on to at least one person you love today. I know that they will be glad you did, and you will feel good yourself. You will go from, you'll be in that place of service, and we always feel good in service. So I hope you do that. All right, here we go. Back to my guest. All right. So Brian Biro is my guest today. He's, if you don't know Brian, he is America's breakthrough speaker, and he's done over 1,800 presentations in front of groups large and small, very large at some points. Brian, all right, resilience. You know, we all mess up, we screw up, you know, we just do what we do as humans. And what happens? How do we get resilience back when we're doing that?
That's a wonderful question, because you hit it on the head. We're gonna hit those rocks. We're gonna hit those obstacles. We're gonna have those boards in front of us. So how do we become resilient? Well, a couple of things. The first is to create a definition of success for yourself that really works. And I love Coach Wooden's definition of success. It said success is peace of mind, and it comes from knowing you've given the best of what you're capable. In other words, focus on the things you put in, your effort, your energy, your attitude. And recognize that as success. And that's how you move towards breakthrough results. So the first starting place for resilience is to focus on the things you control, on what you put in. And those three things, first is shaping your future. Second, energy and energizing and engaging yourself. Now, before you can energize and engage anybody else, you must energize and engage yourself. All right? And three, that our purpose is to build people, build teams, and build relationships. All right? When we hit those obstacles, long ago, Napoleon Hill said the most brilliant thing when he wrote Think and Grow Rich. He said, within every adversity is planted the seed of an equivalent or greater benefit. In other words, when you think about it, when you think about the toughest times you've ever gone through, the biggest failures, if you want to call them, the biggest mistakes, when you got to the other side, weren't they the things from which you grew the most? So to be resilient is to take that principle that even in the toughest challenges of my life, I know that I'm going to learn something. I know that I'll be better for it in the long run, that something good will come of it. In my own life, my daughter, my youngest daughter, Jenna, incredible young woman, when she was 23 years of age, the person she was about to get married to was found dead from a drug overdose. And it tore her beautiful heart up. And it was not the way I would want her to learn about strength and character and life. Today, if she was on this show, we'd have to adjust the lighting because she shines so bright. And what she's learned is to be resilient. And that comes from understanding that you don't control other people. You don't control external approval. And you definitely don't compare yourself to others to be who you are. Focus on building that sense of, I'm focusing on being better each and every day. And today, as I said, she shines bright because she's learned that resilience is always possible when we focus on shaping our future, energizing and engaging herself and our team, and building others with building relationships, teams, and people.
I love that. Well, my granddaughter was 5 years old at the time. She walked into my office one day and she said, Grandpa, would you coach me? I said, sure. What do you want to coach on, Ella? She says, well, Grandpa, does your mom and dad ever get upset with you? Remember, she's 5 years old. Do they ever get upset with you when you leave your toys out? I said, yeah, that can happen, Ella. And she says, well, Grandpa, do your parents ever get upset with you if you're not nice to your baby brother? I said, yeah, that can happen too. I said, Ella, what's the solution? She thought for a second. She said, just have happy thoughts. Just have happy thoughts. Love it. Love it. So, you know, a lot of times we don't have happy thoughts, right? Now, how do we balance that passion with calmness and happiness inside of us? How do we balance that?
Well, again, remember what you focus on is what you create. All right. So since what we focus on is what we create, you need to ask yourself, what are you focusing on? How many of us focus more on worrying about what will go wrong, which hasn't happened yet, instead of focusing on creating what we want to go right? How many of us are focusing more often and with more passion on the things that disappoint us, that cause us stress and worry, than are the things that bring us joy and possibility? Your little granddaughter was brilliant. All right? How many of us focus on the board instead of the breakthrough? Either way, what you focus on is what you create. And so if you really want to start to move towards what you want, one of the simplest ways is to start to change your own internal self-talk, the way you see the world. Now, many of us live our lives from what I call a have-to perspective. In other words, when we were little kids, we were told often, as she was about picking up her toys, you have to do this or you're going to get punished. You have to do this or something bad will happen. Now, that's important with our children so that they're safe. But over the years, that have-to mentality stays with us because there's always two words attached to it, or else. You have to do this or else something bad will happen. If you start with this simple, powerful change in the way you talk to yourself, and since instead of saying, I have to do this work, I have to do this report, I have to do this job, say, I want to, choose to, can't wait to, love to. I can't tell you how many times each day can I say, I love what I do. I'm doing what I was put on earth to do. And as a result, I've filled up, boy, that ability. So shift. What do you have to do in life? Two things. You have to die. Everything else is a matter of choice. Really one thing. And we may have a choice about that. Everything else is a matter of choice. So choose to instead of have to, and you'll start having those happy thoughts like your granddaughter.
100%. And, you know, anytime I hear in my mind, I have to, I immediately default to, I choose to. Takes me out of being a victim, puts me back with power, with choice. And I just that we can't emphasize that enough because a lot of us were taught that what you just said. That's a powerful message that you just had. I really appreciate it, Brad. All right, let's first of all, you got this amazing new book out. So you know what? I got to put it on the screen. It's called Lessons from the Legends. We kind of touched the base a little bit in the beginning of the show about it, but hey, listen, man, what drove you to write this book?
Well, you know, I wanted to write about character. And I feel like in the last 10 years of my life, character has become more important than ever. So really focus on integrity. Really focus on being the best of what you're capable. To really focus on how we build others, people build teams, and build relationships. So the heart of the reason I wrote this book was to let people not only know his character important, but it works. These two people you see on the cover were the most successful people ever in the history of what they did. But they did it with grace. They did it with humility. They did it with honesty and integrity. They did it by never blaming people. You know, blame is the most insidious destroyers of people, teams, and relationships. And there's a real simple reason. And you think about blame in the context of time. Is blame about the past, the present, or the future? It's always about the past.
Always about the past.
Whenever you're in blame, you're in the past. Can you do anything about the past? No, that's done. That's over. So a blame buster doesn't pretend we didn't mess up, as you talked about before. But what they do is they tip it out of the past and put it into the now. Here's what happened. Here's what we did. What can we learn? How can we use it to get better? And so I wrote this book to bring out the power of blame busting. Probably most important, though, the one thing that these two emphasized more than anything else by the way they lived was being fully present. Now, what does that mean? When you're fully present, 100% of your mind, body, and spirit is with the people you're with where they are now. Now, how many of us have ever been with somebody where we know their body's with us, but the rest of it is another county? And here's the question. How does it make you feel when someone you wish to be present with you is not present with you? Well, for everyone I've ever known, it makes them feel worthless. And I believe that our job as parents, as coaches, as teachers, as receptionists, as whatever we do, our job with other human beings, our job comes down to this. Our job is to help the people that we lead, that we serve, that we love, to know they're important, to know they're significant, to know they matter. And the only way you can do that at a foundational, unshakable level is to be fully present. You know,
I'm thinking about the restaurant that, you know, how many times I've been to a restaurant, there's four people sitting there, all four of them are on their cell phone. I'm thinking, there's nobody home here. They're all somewhere else. There are the ones in China, one's over here in New Jersey, one's over here, you know, talking to their friend. I'm like, well, who's home? There's nobody home here. You know, it's a good, it's practically speaking, you know, what's the value, the character that represents being present? I mean, how do we teach that, Ryan? How do we teach that to our kids?
Well, the first and foremost way is to understand it is a choice. All right. And you hit one of them, put the phone away. In fact, it's funny, but kids want us to be present when they're young. Yeah. You know, I call this the gift because when my daughters were 8 and 3 years old, I was so caught up in my career. My speaking business had taken off. I've taken on this huge contract to do training for a direct sales company that I was on my phone. In those days, we didn't have this kind of technology. We didn't even have much email. Everything was done on the telephone. One night, my two children, when I could have been and should have been tucking them in, letting them know they're the most important people in the world, I was reaching for the phone. And my two daughters came into my room in that moment, 8 and 3 years old. My little one jumped in my lap, nosed my arm out of the way like the golden retriever. And they asked me this question. They said, Daddy, we just want to know, do you love your phone more than all of us?
Ouch.
I felt the blade going deep. Emerson said, what you do scream so loudly, I can't hear a word you're saying. Well, that moment changed my life, Ken. It made me have the commitment. And this is the commitment you make. Commitment that my most important job as a father, as a teacher, as a speaker, is to be fully present. And so I'll give everybody a simple way to start it out. Inch by inch, anything's a sin. So when you get off the show today, pick out two people in your life, one at work, one at home, who for the next 30 days you commit to be more fully present with. Now, it doesn't mean you have to spend more time with them. You may have less time on your schedule. But when you're with them, start with what you just said. Put the cell phone down. No more meals where you're 3 feet away from each other, but all you see is the crumbs.
100%.
Ask more than tell.
Let me ask you this, too. I think people are getting the idea of what they're going to walk away with. By the way, thank you for that gift that you just gave everybody. I hope I didn't cut you short on that, did I?
Well, I just want to say, when you ask more than tell, make sure that you listen before you formulate your response. And you'll start to create a whole new, they'll look at you different after 3 days and they'll say, whoa, you're looking good. So being present says to them, we on words, you are important. And when we communicate that, we build relationship.
I love that. All right, listen, I'm going to take a quick break. But when we get back, we are going to talk a little bit more about lessons from the legends. I want to know, you know, I have this philosophy that books change us as we write them. I want to know how this book changed you and what changes my audience might have in store for them as they read this amazing book. So we're going to take a quick break and then we'll come back. We'll talk about it.
Hi, everyone watching at home. We're here to remind you that if you or someone you know were injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have live agents available right now to answer your questions and tell you how much your case is potentially worth. Hi, I'm Gina Belich here with spokesman and TV personality Tom Mustin with us in the Help Center. So, Tom, phones are really busy over there. Tell us what kind of calls you're seeing.
Well, Gina, first off, thank you for having me here in the call center with you. We always enjoy talking to the viewers and getting folks the compensation that they deserve. You know, we're seeing calls about all kinds of accidents, but the most common by far has been car accidents. So if you or someone you know were injured in an accident that was not your fault, give us a call right now. You'll speak with a live person. They'll answer any questions you have and tell you if you have a case and how much your case is potentially worth.
Thanks, Tom. All right, folks at home, you heard it. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now.
All right, lessons from the legends. This is your host, Kendi Foster, and I'm sitting here talking with Brian Biro, and he's got a new book out, Lessons from the Legends. John, how'd this book change you? First of all, before I do that, where can we get the book? I saw it on Target. I saw it on Amazon. Where else? Where can we get the book?
You just hit it. You get it anywhere where you buy your books. So it's definitely on Amazon. A lot of people go there. It's Barnes & Noble. Anywhere you buy your books, you can get it off my website as well. So it's a fun read because it's filled with stories, and stories are what connect us. This story becomes your story. So to bring out both John Wooden and Pat Summitt, created models for the way to live their lives. That's what this book really focuses on, their particular models. Pat Summitt's was called The Definite Dozen, and John Wooden's was called The Pyramid of Success. If anybody's a Ted Lasso fan, then you saw The Pyramid of Success on Ted Lasso's wall on that great television series. So this book really helped me understand that if we don't start with the end in mind, it's like not using your GPS. You're not going to find your way. And both of them use their model of the world at the pyramid. Each block of the pyramid fit together with the other. And if you pull the block out, you fall down. The Definite Dozen was just the same way. It gave a GPS destination to be the best person you can be, to live with joy and fulfillment, to impact others. And so what I learned most of all was that if we don't start with the end in mind, if we don't adjust our internal GPS, we're going to be floating around in all directions, not moving in the direction we want to go.
You know, I have a beautiful wife. We've been together 25 years. And, you know, I create visions. I create direction. I'm very clear on my goals, right? And one of the things my wife does really well is test my resolve. Of course, I do the same thing as a coach for my clients. How important is it to have somebody in our life that tests our resolve?
I think it's vital. I think what you just brought out is something that many people need to change their view of. We've come around to this idea that being different is bad. The differences are a bad thing. I don't want a team of people who are just like me, because all we'll see is this little narrow corridor that I see. I want people who see the things that I miss. I want people who are passionate about the important things that I'm not so good at. All right. And that your wife fills that void. When I was a U.S. swimming coach, my first career, I was a U.S. swimming coach, and I had a fantastic time. Something always amazed me, all right, was what I call the relay paradigm. And that was whenever we got individuals to be in a relay, they always did better because they had people around them who could fill their holes, who could lift them up, could do the things that we couldn't do. So it's incredibly important to have, and both of these coaches, incidentally, were great, great assistant coaches. They wanted people who would challenge them, who would ask them tough questions, who would see what they missed. All right. That's what collaboration is. As long as we're going towards the same end, and the same end is let's be the best we can be. All right. And that's a beautiful thing. I have a wife that we're going to be celebrating 40 years coming up this year. And she has been that person. She sees the things that I miss. And as a result, it helps me grow. So good on you, Bob.
Yeah, I love that. Congratulations on that, by the way. That's a lot of courage. That's a lot of love. Listen, I started doing triathlons years ago. When I first started out, I was a sprinter, right? So I couldn't imagine swimming 2 miles. I mean, there's like just a disconnect. But here's the good news: is that a lady came and she taught me a technique. One technique, triple my distance in an hour, just like that. One technique. I remember doing the same thing in snow skiing. I was given a technique how to go down the moguls of the hill, and it immediately changed how I skied forever. How important is technique to what we're talking here? Like John Wooden, was he using technique at all, or was Pat? Were they applying these different techniques? What do you say to that? What do we do with that technique piece?
That's absolutely. What they said was success accompanies attention to fine details. And how important was a little technique? Let me give you the ultimate story. Everybody knows who John Wooden knows this. John Wooden spent one of the first practices every year teaching his players how to put their socks on properly. Now, when a guy like Bill Walton came along, or Lou Alcindor became Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, they're looking at this guy going, put my socks on? But here's what he knew. He says that basketball is a game of your feet. You're making constant cuts. You're running fast. If you have your socks on slightly twisted, you're going to develop a blister. That blister is going to cause you to kind of compensate in the way that you run. That could lead to an ankle injury, a knee injury, a hip injury. So what they started to understand is those little tiny techniques, all right, over time can become huge differences. And so technique is really about choosing to constantly learn and move your direction. When we shoot a rocket from the Earth to the moon, it doesn't go straight. It depends on feedback, on a constant adjustment. In the same way, if we hold on to our steering wheel and we never move it, we're going in the ditch. We got to make constant adjustments. That's what technique can do. The most important thing, though, to getting there is your purpose, is to fill with purpose, is that when you're compelling why will lead you to the right place. When my children taught me what I was taking away from them by my lack of presence, they gave me a compelling why that changed everything in my life. And it starts as a technique. It starts as I got to change the way I've been doing this. And then it becomes who you are. The ultimate goal of leadership is to become a model of personal excellence, integrity, accountability, and humility. And when that's who you are, you're going to be easy to impress and hard to offend. And that's an incredible recipe to be a great
leader. I love that. You know, basics, like you just mentioned with John Wooden with the socks, you know, going back to basics. For me, I have certain things that I do every day before I go to bed and when I wake up. One is I set my intention to sleep well, to wake up feeling alert, alive, and ready. I set intention the night before. You know, I meditate before I go to sleep every night, right? I'm quieting my mind, stilling my mind. When I wake up, when those eyes open, I go to gratitude. This is my way. I just, you know, and I know how I start my days, a lot of times how I'm going to finish my day. So I go to gratitude, and then I'll ask myself, if I were courageous, what are three of the most important steps I'll take today to move myself forward? Something like that, a question, and then get up, and then I'm doing my exercise, you know, get my life, starting my life. Basics, right? That's my point. I'm not talking about going to sleep and setting intention and waking up. I'm talking about the basics in our life. What are the fundamental basics we should have if we want a life of excellence?
Excellent. Number one, be easy to impress and hard to offend. Most people are very easy to offend and don't recognize the ability we have to really lift people by being impressed by their little things. Coach Wood and Coach Summit were brilliant at not only acknowledging and recognizing and celebrating people's results, they focused more on what they put in to get to those results. So focus on really being alert to effort, energy, attitude, and really acknowledge those things. That's one. Two, most of all, be fully present. That sends to that person that belief that they are important. Three, be a world-class buddy thinker. What I mean by that is just remember, since we're talking a little sports here, remember ESPN, E, thank and recognize people with effort and energy. Sometimes we acknowledge people, we're not even there. We say, thanks a lot, appreciate it. It means nothing. But when you put a little energy into it, you smile at them, you work to express how you want to thank them, it connects. Again, thank people for their effort and energy and not just the results. S, use the power of surprise. Surprise is what I call the super glue of impact. So stop a meeting to acknowledge somebody for something they didn't even know they were doing by their effort, their energy. It lifts them up. It's a handwritten card. It's a post-it note on their door they didn't see coming, but it'll stick with them and they'll see themselves differently. And what you focus on is what you create. P, I keep coming back to it because it's the most foundational, basic of all, be fully present. But most of all, do it now. I believe that N stands for now. Every day we get to the same Y in the road, Ken. One side goes this way, says as soon as. The other one says now. As soon as looks easier. It's well lit. There's no ruts. There's no potholes. Now twists and turns. There's lights out. But if you stay on the road called as soon as, it's a direct road to never. It will only take you to perpetual procrastination. So if there's people in your life you haven't been acknowledging, you change it now. If you haven't been fully present, change it now. If you've been focused out on the obstacle instead of the breakthrough, change it now. So be someone who constantly adjusts that course. And if it's not working, try something different. Lastly, you code it perfectly. Be grateful. The greatest human emotion, the highest frequency emotion is gratitude. So begin every day by asking, what am I truly grateful about today? That will lead you to your purpose. And when you're inspired, you'll never expire.
Well, I love that. I'm going to plus one more. Do the worst first. I think you said it in different terms, but it's like you wake up, man, you go, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go acknowledge my friend. I don't want to go take out the trash. I don't want to write my book. I don't want to go exercise. You go do that. Your life changes. It gets better and better every day and every way. All right, I got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about how we can upshift our thinking so that you've already done a good job with that, but upshift our thinking. What's the key strategy to upshift thinking so that we can, like you said earlier, resonate, you know, who was it? Nikola Tesla said, if you want to understand the universe, understand energy, frequency, and vibration. I want to know about the mindset of energy, frequency, and vibration from your point of view, how we upsell. Up level. Sorry. I'll be right back.
Hi, folks. Joe Namath here. Did you know that I wear hearing aids? I love my hearing aids, and I am here to help you get a deal on the same brand I wear.
Don't waste thousands on expensive hearing aids when you can get MD Hearing's revolutionary Neo hearing aids for just $297 a pair. The Neo is a true hearing aid, not an amplifier. With rechargeable technology many customers say is superior to more expensive models. And you can get two Neo hearing aids with a 45-day risk-free trial, free shipping, and free lifetime U.S.-based support for only $297. The Neo is nearly invisible with its tiny in-the-ear canal design.
Call my friends at MD Hearing and get the over-the-counter hearing aids that I use for you.
Call now and get not one, but two Neo hearing aids for just $297.
800-789-7885. Again, that's 800-789-7885.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Candy Foster, your host for the Voices of Courage show, syndicated in 185 countries these days. 80% of the world's 8 billion people can listen to this show, so please be sure to tell your family and friends about it, especially if you're inspired by that. You know, okay, so that upshift thought, I know you have it. I want to hear what that is. What is that? What do we have to do to
well, you,
what are the keys here?
You could not have introduced it better, Ken. Key is that word you said. It's energy. And again, most people don't think of their energy in the right way. Most of us think about our energy in the same way we think about the weather. It's like, hope it's great weather for the family picnic. Hope the weather's good for that trip out on the holidays. But your energy is your choice. And when you understand it's a choice, watch out. Because why is your energy so crucial to everything that matters to you? Number one, to everyone you touch, your energy is your example. In other words, people will remember that much of what you say, no matter how well you say it, and they'll never forget your energy. They get your energy before you open your mouth. They get your energy after you close your mouth. They get your energy over the phone. They haven't seen your face. They get your energy the way you send emails. Email does not stand for electronic mail. It stands for energy mail. That's why every email I send sets the words joy to you, because I want to send joyous energy. So the first reason why energy is so important is it is who we are. Second reason, it's about the woo, W-O-O, which is really fun to say. Woo! Woo stands for window of opportunity, which is every precious moment. You never know if the next person you'll meet today may become a lifelong friend, as you didn't know when you met your lifelong friend. You never know if the next time you talk to that granddaughter, something you say, they affect the whole rest of her life and make her life better. And so the reason energy is so important is you only, and the only elevate your energy is the secret that seizing more woos, right? Because when we don't have energy, we're behind that woo. We miss that moment. So how can we improve our energy like choice instead of chance as a leader? Three things. Number one, change the way you move. If you want to move your life, you got to move yourself. Energy is created by the way that you move. In other words, anytime you've been at your best, you have moved your body distinctly differently than when you've not been your best. Your facial expression, your eye position, focal point, your physical movement, and your breathing. I've said it to some people before, and they go, Brian, if I had more energy, I'd move more. Move more, and you'll have more energy. So if you want to change your life, change your movement. If you want to move your life, you've got to move yourself. Second, even more powerful, energy is created by the level of purpose. Whenever you're full of purpose, you're full of energy. I laugh about it, Ken, but it's the truth. When I'm on stage, I'm 25 years old. I get off stage, I'm 70 again, but on stage, I'm 25. And that's because I'm filled with purpose. The greatest book ever written about purpose was called Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. And it's a man who endured Auschwitz, perhaps the worst of the concentration camps. And he said this. He said, the people that lived through the Holocaust were those that had a purpose left undone. In other words, if you're not inspired, you're expired. So ask yourself every day, what am I truly grateful about? That will lead you to your priorities. That will lead you to your purpose. Whenever I speak, I bring with me a photo of my family. They're my purpose. I love them like itself. And the last thing I do before I speak is I go to that purpose and it fills me up. And the third key to purpose is release the energy vampires. I've had people who said, Brian, I got lots of energy, except when I get around him. I have this one person who sucks the energy out of me. And I always say the same thing to him. Never say it to be harsh. I borrowed it from Bob Newhart. If you think you have somebody who's an energy vampire, somebody fits that description, stop it. It's not their energy. It's not their energy. No one can take your energy away from you unless you give them permission. I learned it from my dad, who I thought was my energy vampire. He could never say I love you when I was a kid. But he showed me in other ways. Today, he's my best friend in the world, but it never would have changed until I released that energy vampire and brought my own authentic energy when I interacted with my dad. Today, my 94-year-old dad's one of my best friends in the world, and every conversation ends, I love you. And that's only comes when you live with energy. So remember, movement, purpose, and release those energy vampires, because they're not real. You created them. Release them. Let them go.
Words from the wisdom, from the wise. You know, you and I could do a whole show on energy. That, you know, that's a big topic. And I thought you did a really great job of giving us the basics here. By the way, we're out of time, but I want to say this, and I think you'll agree with me here. It's been my experience in my world that it's not putting on the socks one time. It's putting on the socks maybe the 30th time that I get it. Repetition is really important if we want to embrace these success principles. Like, how many times did you have to go over these principles time and time and live them in your life until they actually seeded and it no longer became you're consciously unconscious. You just do it because it's who you become, right? What you say to that's absolutely right.
Yeah. It's absolutely right. You got to do it every single day. I can think of no better example than John Wooden. John Wooden said these things every single day. He said the words to himself and to others every day. He said things like, you know, failure is never fatal. Success is never final. He said, be more concerned with your character than your reputation. Success accompanies attention to little details. He used those terms over and over. I bet he said them 50,000 times by the time he was 30 years old, and they became who he is. Yeah. That's what we all do. Yeah. We're becoming what we're constantly saying to ourselves and what we're visualizing. So focus on those fundamentals. Do them every single day. And as I said, every day I say at least 50 times, I love what I do. And guess what? I love what I do. All right. If I say,
and I love what I do. I love what I do. And I love being on the show with you. That was amazing. That was so good. Brian, I'm out of time. I got to run, Don. But stay in the back of the studio. I want to talk with you a minute. And all of you, I want to thank all of you for listening to this amazing show. And as Brian just said, you know, repetition is the mother lode of success, right? So it's like, here's what my encouragement for you as I close this show. Find somebody today and find somebody for the next 10 days to share the show with it. But don't just give them the link. Sit down and watch it with them so that those principles start to go within your mind. And then take one or two of those principles every week. Yeah, write them down as you hear them every week for the next several weeks and apply them in your life. See how your life just gets better and better and better. These are time-tested principles that have been used for millennia, right? Millennium, maybe. Yeah, okay. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed this show as much as I did. From my heart to you, yours, please keep seeing the unseeable, knowing the unknowable, and doing the impossible. Take care.